We praise that the grace that you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, by whose spirit they have been reborn, and by whose blood they have been redeemed. By whose blood they have been redeemed. Thomas, touch the wounds. Thomas, look at me. The disciples, look at me. Here I am. Again and again you have heard from me, peace be with you. Be not afraid. Peace be with you. We have been redeemed by the blood of the cross. And as we stand at the final day of the octave of Easter, 8 days it has taken us to celebrate the power and the joy and the awesome alleluias that we have experienced this week in that Easter resurrection moment. But it cost, to get to the resurrection, it cost every single ounce of blood that Jesus had in his body, to the point where that what flowed out was water. The water of the font of baptism in which we have all been baptized, in which we have all been brought in to this community of God's people, the new covenant, the new people, the new chosen ones. The font of his blood, the font of the water that he shed for us to the last drop. You can't get a whole lot more committed than what Jesus was for us, for you and I. Because just as he was committed to the disciples, and just as he came back again and again and again, believe in me, believe what I have told you. The road to Emmaus, we're grieving the son who died. Weren't you people listening when I talked to you? Let me explain it to you again. And still, they didn't understand until he broke the bread. They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. They recognized him in the final gift that he gave us, his body and his blood. Now, Peter, leading up to this, we all love Peter because we're so much like Peter. We're so much like Peter. But it's a different Peter that we see in the Acts of the Apostles. Where did this guy come from? Where did he get this power? Where did he get this energy? Where did he get this self-assurance? Well, because we've been here before, we know where it came from. Hidden, frightened, alone, scared. All these men and women who followed Jesus were in the upper room, waiting, anticipating, fearing. In this gospel, Jesus breathed the Spirit on them and said, I send you out like I have been sent. I send you out to preach the gospel, to talk about this blood, to talk about the water that you've been reborn in, the Spirit. In that moment of Pentecost when the upper room was enfolded in smoke and wind and fire, and the Spirit came down in flame on each of the men and women in that room, on each of us. Because even through baptism, the Spirit is present in our lives. On the 11th of May, we're going to experience for our young people and some of our older people the sacrament of confirmation. The Spirit will be coming upon these people, inflaming their hearts, being reborn. This is all stuff that happens to us. The things that the disciples were given and experienced comes down to us in our time, in this place, in this moment. Jesus Christ, who said this to the disciples, peace be with you, is here in the building at the moment of consecration. That's what we believe. That's part of the good news. That's part of what the Spirit allows us to live out in our lives. It's not a representation. It's not some thought. It's not a symbol. Jesus Christ present on the altar, same Jesus Christ who died for our sins, rose and is seen to the disciples and challenging them, encouraging them, holding them up, asking them to move beyond the fears that they have, to accept the challenge that he gave them. I was sent, and I am sending you. With the exception of one disciple, John, all the disciples were martyred. Powerful statement. They gave their blood just like Christ. We have in our world today ongoing martyrs, people who die for their faith, for their presence in worship. We have modern martyrs. It's sad, but it's real. And we are challenged in our lives to live up to that promise that they made in their death. Jesus Christ will win the day. The sacrifice of the Mass will continue. The sacrifice that they made, the martyrs that we mourn, will not be in vain. If we commit every day of our lives to living in the Spirit, to living out the grace that we are in, to accepting Jesus Christ in our lives, in our hearts, and allowing God to work through us. You know, my middle name is St. Francis, and although I make fun of the Franciscans and the Jesuits, Francis was very much a part of my life and stays that way. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. It is more poignant and more important that that happen in our lives now than it did in his day. He was charged with rebuilding the church. He got it wrong the first time. He thought God wanted him to be a mason and rebuild the church. That's not the church he was asked to recreate. It's the church that you and I live in now. So going forward, we're going to continue in the Easter season for quite some time. The Spirit has not come to the disciples in the upper room, but he will. And so I invite you to make your prayer going forward with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.